Good morning, everyone. This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 45, which is on page 47 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they'll hand him over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise again." James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been, and we know
up who remembers that, my age group. Lovely to see you all. Good morning. I will explain. Well, that song is called The Road to Nowhere, and it's by Talking Heads. Excellent. The question I wanted to ask as we begin this sermon this morning, what road are you on? Do you sometimes feel like you're on a road to nowhere? Do you ever feel like you don't quite know where everything's going? And I'm not just talking about Brexit. People feel like, or do you sometimes feel like that you're on a road to somewhere, but you're not quite sure where that is, and you're not sure you're going to like the destination? I wonder if the disciples are feeling like that in our reading this morning. Our church vision statement is about following Jesus and making him known. It's about walking the road that Jesus walks. But what does that really look like for us? What's that about? Our reading this morning takes place on a road. Mark is at pains right at the very beginning of the reading in Mark chapter 10 to say they were on the road. They're on the road to Jerusalem. And on this road, in our reading, we see two competing visions of what it means to follow Jesus. The world's vision, one of worldly success, triumph, and greatness, and Jesus' kingdom vision, which is very different. And I suspect that we often judge our own Christian faith or the life of the church or the success of the church or the relevance of Christianity based on the world's view and not on Jesus' view. We often judge our experience of the road using the world's view and not Jesus' view, just like James and John did. You might find it helpful to have Mark chapter 10 open at verse 32. I've confessed I've forgotten what page it was on, 45, something like that. But Mark chapter 10 is the kind of the beginning of the second, of the third, of the three-thirds of the Bibles in the chairs in front of you. Mark chapter 10, verse 32 begins, "They were on a road going to Jerusalem," page 47. Those following Jesus are judging the destination based on their worldly vision, which looked like this. Jesus is the Messiah. They know that. God's chosen one, God's son. True. The prophets say that the Messiah will restore Israel. Mostly true. This Messiah is our new king. He will be crowned in Jerusalem and enthroned. True. Success will be Jesus glorious and victorious, and we will share in that success because we have followed him, and so we will be gloriously crowned with him. Also true. Success is power and influence and authority. Wrong. Jesus is, I find it interesting that Mark highlights this, Jesus is striding forth. He's at the front. Verse 32. And those following him are both amazed and afraid. They're amazed at Jesus' confidence and brazenness walking into Jerusalem, into the midst of those who want to kill him, and they're afraid of what the next few days might mean for them. But to give them their due, they are still following. Surely the end is obvious. Jesus the Messiah will be enthroned in his kingdom, in this earthly kingdom. Surely that's the case. After all, it's only a few days since the transfiguration on the mountain, witnessed by Peter, James, and John, the inner three. And on that mountain, beginning at the beginning of chapter 9 of Mark, they saw Jesus transformed and blazing white with Moses and Elijah. They know, these three, what Jesus is really like, or can choose to be like. Glorious and powerful, shining bright in light. And being clever chaps, James and John have worked out that there are three of them in the inner circle, and a throne only has two sides. So one of the three will lose out if the lieutenants sit on the right and the left. Perhaps the brothers, James and John, don't want to lose out, so they get ahead of Peter and get in first and ask if they can sit either side of Jesus and drink his cup of victory with him and be baptized, immersed in the glory that Jesus will have. For them, success is sitting on either side of Jesus as reward for all they have done for and with him. And the other nine disciples are not impressed. 10 disciples. In fact, they're angry because they wanted this success too. They want to be considered as the best and the greatest. But they've all missed the point. This road that Jesus is traveling will indeed end in a coronation and the drinking of a cup. it will be a victory. There will be one on the left and one on the right at Jesus' enthronement on his cross at Calvary. And Jesus has tried to tell them that. He's taken the 12 aside just before the James and John moment, and he's told them that will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes in verse 33, that he will be condemned and handed on to the Roman Gentile authorities and whipped and beaten and killed, and then will rise again. He's told them this three times now in Mark's gospel, and they haven't accepted it. They don't understand it. And as he strides ahead, Jesus knows that this is where the road leads. It isn't a road to nowhere. It is a road to victory, but it's victory through service. It's victory through ransoming his life. Verse 45 of chapter 10, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So what's our road of expectation like? What's our road of faith like? What does it mean to follow Jesus along the road? Firstly, to follow Jesus means to know that we have been ransomed. At the time the Bible was written, when prisoners of war were taken, ransoms could sometimes be paid to have them released. Those who, when someone was taken into slavery, a ransom could be paid in order to buy their freedom. Those who were ransomed had their freedom given to them by the one who ransomed them, the one, if you like, who valued them highly enough to pay for the freedom for them. Jesus, the Son of Man, came to give his life as a ransom for many. So what hinders and imprisons us? The stock Christian answer, I guess, is sin, by which we often mean the things we've done wrong. But sin is so much greater than that. Sin is that which is not of God. It's that which prevents us from flourishing. It binds us, enslaves us to a life that is not a life that God intended. So yes, it includes drunkenness and debauchery and greed and lying and breaking all the laws that we looked at in the Ten Commandments at the beginning of this calendar year. And it also includes being trapped in an addictive way of life or trapped in a spiral of debt. Sin is feeling inadequate. It's feeling unwanted or not valued. Sin is not losing, loving others, not loving God. And sin is not loving ourselves as God does. The Bible teaches us that sin is really hard to get out of. Once you're in it, it binds and imprisons us. We need to be freed from it to become who God has made us to be. And Jesus buys that freedom for us. Jesus gave his life as a ransom to release me and to release you. To free us, to forgive us, to renew us, to give us life to the full and life eternal. I want to show you a video from a church in the US. Some of you may have seen it before. It's people simply saying what being ransomed by Jesus meant to them at the moment that this video was made. They have written who they were before on a piece of cardboard, and they've turned it over to talk about what it, or to show us what it is that God has released them to, where it is they have been ransomed to, if you like. Let's watch this together.
Your presence in me, Jesus, light the way.
there are loads of those on YouTube if you want to watch them. I wonder what your cardboard story would be. This is my most recent one. This is from last week at Lee Abbey. I would do this. I hope I've got this right way around. And then that. Perhaps you have been freed and know total freedom. Perhaps you are yet to receive the ransom that has been offered for you. Perhaps, like me, some of you is ransomed and some of you is a work in progress. But the amazing thing about Jesus is, to be freed, we just need to receive the ransom that has already been paid. To ask, Lord, help me with, and that ask is already given. It's more of an acknowledgement to ourselves than it is a question to God. For Jesus' life has been given as a ransom. We only need to receive. I wonder if we were to do that cardboard exercise this morning, what it is you would write. What would you like it to say? To follow Jesus on the road means to know you have been ransomed and to learn to live in that freedom. And when we think about it, this wonderful truth that Jesus' death ransoms all of us means that we are all in this together. We are all equal. We are all equally indebted, if you like, to Jesus. So none of us has the right to lord it over another. Which leads us to our second point. To follow Jesus on the road means that we are here to serve Jesus and to serve one another. We serve Jesus out of love for him because he loves us so much that he gave his life as a ransom for us. And we serve others because Jesus ransomed them too and loves them too. When he says, for, in verse 45, when he says, for the Son of Man came, he is saying that he came to serve and therefore he sends us to serve. That is what following him means, to be like him, to walk like him, to walk the road he walked. That is what the for is there for. We are to serve one another as Jesus served us, and then, Jesus says, we will be great in the kingdom of heaven. We will be first when we follow Jesus, when we become a slave to all. So what does it mean for us to serve? Serving is an attitude of heart to God. We see ourselves rightly as servants of God and worshippers of God. We walk the road for God's glory. We don't have a God, a pet God, kind of pet God to make us feel better. Serving is an attitude of heart towards God. Serving is an attitude of heart towards others. We don't see ourselves as better than others. We don't see others as better than ourselves. And we don't judge or belittle or criticize one another. It might simply mean being here for one another, community together, as we meet on a Sunday or through the week. It might mean speaking to and listening to one another. In many ways, the greatest gift we can give one another is time, welcoming and giving one another space. It might mean practically serving one another. It might mean taking up a ministry. Ministry simply means service. Maybe serving in children's work or at coffee or in another way. It might mean inviting one another for coffee or meals. It might mean prayerfully supporting one another in our work and struggles. It might mean being vulnerable with one another. Serving is an attitude of heart. It does mean loving one another. So, to conclude, to be on the road following Jesus means to know that we are each amazingly ransomed through Jesus' death for us. And it means serving God and others as Jesus did. And that, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, is the road to a great, abundant life through Christ in the kingdom of God, following Jesus and making him known. Let's pray. And I want to just give you a moment to think. What is your cardboard moment this morning? What would you write on this side of the cardboard? And then perhaps, what would you write on the other side by way of illustrating that you are ransomed? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to give your life as a ransom for many. We thank you, Lord, that you came to give your life as a ransom for me and for you sitting before me. We thank you, Lord, that that life is given. And you call us and invite us to receive it. Help us, Lord, to live in the light of our ransomedness, to walk the road in the light of our ransomedness, as those who are free to be who God has made us, as those who are committed to serve you, Lord Jesus, and to serve our Father God who gave us so much, and to serve one another. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Amen.